So, Berto, have you seen the new TV show Netflix series Stranger Things?
I have, strangely enough.
Yeah. I really, really love this show. How many episodes are you in?
I have finished the series.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Okay, because last time we talked, you were on episode 3.
I was making sure I finished before the podcast.
So you must have really powered through those.
Well, we were actually... Yeah, actually, I didn't realize it was only 8 episodes. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about it. What do you say?
Absolutely.
This is the Psychology in Seattle podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kirk Honda. I'm chair of the Couple and Family Therapy Program at Antioch University, Seattle, and I'm also a therapist.
My name is Humberto Castañeda, and I help teachers who are science teachers get students into programs that might help them excel.
Interesting. I like that, dude. So we're probably going to spoil it. Do you want to spoil this show?
I think it's hard to talk about this show without a modicum of spoilers.
I'm gonna throw this out there. I mean, because a lot of the things I want to talk about actually have nothing to do with the plot.
Well, we don't have to, for example, give away a lot of the stuff that happens in the last couple episodes.
Okay. So,
but there's a couple of things we're gonna say that you might not want to know.
Yeah. So let's try to keep the spoilers to a minimum.
Yes.
and only to the beginning.
Yes.
And sort of the broad strokes, but. But because a lot of things I want to talk about have nothing to do with the plot. It just has to do with like
80s.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, what do you think of the 80s in this movie?
Yeah, I have to say, I am actually on the category of folks that liked but did not love the show.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
And it has nothing to do with, I mean, in fact, some of the things I did actually love about it were the 80s, the feel, the kid actors,
yeah.
The references, the songs, all that stuff, fantastic. The references to movies, famous movies from the 80s, fantastic. The influences. So the things that I ding it for have nothing to do with any of that stuff.
What do you ding it for?
And
let me just start by saying, how dare you?
Oh, yeah. No, there's plot points. There are, they start leveraging flashbacks where they really shouldn't. Because they're unnecessary, redundant flashbacks that are, it's a cheap thing when you do that. An example without giving anything away is there is this scene that happens in the beginning of an episode, and this gal is having flashbacks about stuff that just happened at the end of the previous episode.
Uh-huh.
Another example is later they're having a discussion with the cop and the mom are having a discussion with these other people about the kind of main plot of this whole thing. And as they're talking, every time they say something that is something that this character can do, they have a flashback showing something that character does. But we just saw that.
No.
That's one of my complaints. There's plot holes and there are also...
What's one of the plot holes?
Okay, so...
Maybe just reference it obliquely.
Let me put it this way. Any show or movie that deals with a monster...
Yeah.
Has usually a problem that when they start revealing more and more of the monster...
Yeah.
Things that they had shown the monster capable of doing earlier on...
Yeah.
Later, they have to soften or make... not quite as powerful so that they
right.
can deal with the monster.
Well, so let me know if this explains it to you because this is what I thought of that was we still don't know the full kind of physics involved with the monster
sure.
and the other dimension and all that stuff. Like it was done in such a way, like when I thought about it, it's like, so there was that one scene with Barb where she was in the pool, if you remember.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, well, that was kind of different than this other thing. And then the original kid who gets abducted, it's like, did he disappear into the light bulb? Or, you know, like,
right.
like there's enough there that we just don't know how it works.
Yeah, and then there's a big character turn with the cop where he basically sells down the river some very key characters for no really good reason.
Who does he sell down the river?
Basically all the main characters in the show.
At the end.
Yeah.
But we don't know. But, dude, we don't know why he did that.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter why he did it unless he was already working with the government. There's no indication that he was already working with the government.
He's a good guy. So in all likelihood, there was a good reason for it.
I was trying to find the good reason. That's one of the reasons I'm I like the show. I enjoyed it. But
I'm guessing that
I would improve things.
I'm guessing that you didn't like it probably because it just didn't really hit you. Because I could agree with all those points that you're making, but it hit this whole show. It was just like an almost, especially the first few episodes was just almost, and it was almost like the first few episodes and the last few episodes. It hit every single like dopamine reward center in my brain when it comes to being entertained by watching something.
You and my brother are in the same camp. My brother recommended this show to me along with almost everyone else and their mothers right around the same time. We were in Colombia.
Well, it only came out like a couple weeks ago.
We were in Colombia at the time. And then I read online, I go on Facebook, and everyone is like, Stranger Things, Stranger Things. So I get really curious. I'm like, what is this? And the poster looks amazing. And then my brother's like, oh my God, dude, we just started binge watching Stranger Things. I'm like, oh my God, I gotta watch it. And unfortunately, all the time we were in Colombia, I didn't find a time to watch the show.
Yeah.
So when I got back to Civilization, I finally started, you know, quote unquote binge watching, and I finally caught up, right? Yeah. So I talked to my brother afterwards, and I feel like he had the same reaction as you, which is absolute love from beginning to end. Yeah. And for me, it was like, I like it. Yeah. It was good.
Right.
And there are things I would improve. That's where
I'm just wondering, you know, why that would be. I might hypothesize for a second, but I actually want to talk about the poster because I saw the poster. You know, Netflix was really trying to get me to watch it when it first came out. And there's this picture of like Winona Ryder and it looked like a horror movie or something. And it just did not appeal to me. Like the only reason I watched it was because Nicole, a friend of ours, actually, she texted me. She's like, have you seen Stranger Things? Because I'm pretty sure you're going to love this, is what she said.
I see.
And that's the only reason. I would not be sitting here talking about this with you.
See, I actually love the poster because it looks like an 80s movie like Empire or Raiders. Or it looks like that coupled with like the font style is like Stephen King style things. Right. So for me, let me put it this way. One of the things, but this I wouldn't actually fault it for. It's just, in some ways, I actually felt that they didn't go 80s enough.
Interesting.
But then, some of the stuff that I really like that they did is because they didn't do that.
Yeah.
For example, they have this romantic arc for the girl, and it didn't resolve at all how it would have resolved with an 80s movie.
Right.
They had...
In some 80s movies, it did.
Actually, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Like Pretty in Pink.
Yeah, that's a good point. But that's fair. But in those cases, I feel like there's a more clear character arc.
Yeah. What was his name? Steve or something? Or
was it Steve?
Something like
the
that.
The badass kid.
The popular.
Bad boy.
The popular boyfriend.
Yeah.
His character arc, his storyline, was the best thing about that show to me.
It was great.
Every time they you know had him on the show, and it was like there was a pendulum just kept swinging, but it always made sense to me when it was happening.
Right. And by the way, and like Pretty in Pink, that main guy, the dark haired guy,
McCarthy. Ducky.
No. The one she ends up with.
Yeah, McCarthy,
right?
Andrew McCarthy. I mean, the actor's name is Andrew McCarthy, right?
Right. He is never anywhere as bad of a person as this guy becomes at some points in this.
Yeah. But he has bad friends. Yeah. Anyway, I just love, without giving it too away, I loved that character.
Yes.
I thought it was, there was a, you know, right in the beginning, and, you know, so this isn't revealing much, is this... The main girl, the teenage girl, she has this new boyfriend, and he's being extremely pushy with trying to make out with her. And, you know, she has him over into her bedroom to study, and he's trying to get her to make out. And
it is an 80s movie, after all.
Right. And when I was watching it, it just completely transported me back to the 80s, not just movies, but actually in reality.
Yeah.
Because I remember... That's the way you made out with
people. That's right.
Is that, and it's, and I forgot how different it was back then. And of course, people still do it today, but not nearly as much as they did back then. I mean, this is at a time when date rape wasn't even a thing.
Nope.
And slut shaming was at an all time high.
Yep.
And so girls could not participate in that without giving up a severe protest.
Even just the, did you know that such and such was at such and such's house last night?
Yeah. So if you didn't, as a girl, actively fight to make out with your boyfriend, even though you want to do it, there was something wrong with you. And if you were a boy and you didn't actively
try to
and not take no for an answer,
yeah,
you were just, there was something wrong with you. It's like, why would you take no for an answer? Of course you're going to try to get down her pants. I mean, that's the whole point. You know, you can't take no for an answer. You're never going to get down a girl's pants. I remember people saying stuff like that.
Right.
And so that whole thing, I was like, I have not seen or been exposed to this reality of the 80s since the 80s.
Sure, yeah.
Other things about the 80s, of course, it starts off with Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
I was a big Dungeons & Dragons player in the
80s.
They got some of the D&D wrong for, you know, simplicity's sake. You know, they're trying to...
Yeah.
But they got a lot of it right.
Yeah.
And I loved how throughout the entire 8 episodes, D&D for the main, you know, boys... was a metaphor and a guide for how to act.
That's,
you know,
right.
Say, remember that one time when
we were in the party and we split up? And absolutely.
We got to keep the party together.
Yeah.
And I just loved that. You know, D&D wasn't just an... That was the whole thing. Like, there were all these callbacks, just callback after just layer upon layer to the 80s that I recognized.
Yeah.
None of them were frivolous. Like in the Ghostbusters movie, you know, they throw in the new one. Have you seen it?
No.
They throw in Dan Aykroyd just out of nowhere. Like, it makes no sense.
Oh, my God.
But which isn't... I actually kind of liked the movie. It was actually pretty funny. But you know, when you throw in...
I did not like it, by the way.
When you throw in cameos, it can feel forced. In Stranger Things, it almost never... There were times when I was like, oh, I can see what they're doing there. But it felt natural. You know, the kid has... a thing poster mm-hmm. on the wall.
Yep.
It didn't feel like, oh, let's put an 80s movie. You know,
no.
It was like that poster would be in that guy's room.
Yeah. They got a couple of the years wrong, apparently, because I watched the video online about, you know, which year was it?
Right. So there was that. Another thing that I'll fault them for is she says douchebag.
Oh, was that not a thing?
Oh, my God, no. Douchebag as an insult started 7 years ago.
Oh.
Very recently.
Okay.
Yeah. And she says douchebag, and I thought, oh, my God, no one said douchebag in the 90s, let alone the 80s. Another That's word funny. That they used that no one used back then was the word cool. You know, and I was actually trying to explain this to someone
else.
They
used bad.
What?
They used bad.
Or
That's
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, or fly. I guess that's more of a 90s thing. But anyway... People, I remember, I'm old enough to remember when words went out and back into style. You know, I remember when geek was only used by 14-year-olds or even nerd for that, to that matter, was like, it meant something. It was a bad thing to be a nerd when you were a kid. Cool, when I was in the 80s, we were obsessed with the 60s. And so there was lots of like groovy and sometimes people would use cool, but they were totally trying to evoke the 60s. Mm. Cool, you know, like the Fonz, cool. And I remember when I was in high school or junior high, no one said the word cool. We might say awesome. We might say rad.
Yeah, rad was a thing.
We'd say rad, but we would never say cool.
Right.
Cool, I remember as I was getting older, maybe in the 90s.
Cool as ice.
I remember people start saying the word cool, and I thought, isn't that funny that word was big a long time ago, completely got erased from normal language, and now is coming back. And today, in 2016, everyone and their mom uses the word cool.
You know what's funny for me is, since I didn't grow up here the whole time, I had snippets, so I would... come for vacation on a summer, for example, right? And so I'd have these little snapshots of whatever was going on at that time. One of the expressions that baffled me when I was like 11 or 12 was, I would remember I was in Adventure Seekers, which was a YMCA thing. And the few of the girls that were there, they would be talking about some guy, like some actor or something like that. It's like, oh, he's got such a cute butt. They would say, oh, he's got a cute butt. In my mind, there's no way they were talking about his ass. Why would they talk about a guy's ass? That doesn't make any sense. So they must be, it's an expression.
Like his face.
Oh, he's got a cute butt. Yeah, like his face is cute. Like, I literally thought that a cute butt meant like he's cute.
So did you go home and go, hey, mom, you have a cute butt?
I probably did. So I like that never connected for me until I mean, I was probably, I kid you not, in college. I think I was in college when I was finally like, wait, they do like guys' butts. It just didn't make sense to me. Oh my gosh.
All right, well, let's take a break and get a word from our sponsors. What do you say?
Yes.
We're back talking about Stranger Things, D&D, a karate shirt. I loved how the parents didn't really care about what the kids were doing.
Yeah.
That was very 80s.
That's an 80s for sure.
Yeah. You know, the kid, you know, throughout the movie, the parents are just oblivious.
The only parent involved in anything is the Winona character.
Yeah.
And her kid went missing because he was allowed to bike in the middle of the night through the scariest of forests.
That was absolutely my childhood. There was no parental oversight.
Yep.
That was another thing I loved with the BMX bikes. But actually, they weren't BMX. They were old Schwinn's, which is... I mean, there were so many details I was thinking, did they just randomly come across that? Or do they know this? Because...
Well, they must have.
Because when I was growing up, there were all these old Schwinn bicycles that were sort of passed down. You know, when we were growing up in the 70s and early 80s, to spend money on a child was unheard of.
Yeah.
You know, you just, if a kid wanted a bike, you just found one somewhere. And so that was all of our bikes. And my bike was this, was a Schwinn that my uncle had.
That's awesome.
And in order to make it just somewhat more fashionable, I got a banana seat and like better, you know, handlebars and stuff and better knobby tires. But the basic frame was like 50 pounds.
That's funny.
And that was exactly the same thing in this movie or in this TV series was they had these old Schwinns that were sort of fixed up. And then like one of the friends actually had a real BMX bike. Like a mongoose.
Because, see, that's one of the things, because you're a few years older than me. So when you were doing those things, you were probably their age.
Oh yeah.
So that's probably hitting you right at that spot.
Well, they would have been a little younger than me, but honestly,
really?
But
in 83?
It was 83. Oh, okay. I guess I would be exactly
their age.
Right.
Because for me in 83, I was 8 years old.
Okay.
So what was real for me at the time was, Star Wars. That was my entire reality was Star Wars.
Yeah.
Which they definitely reference as well, but they're a little older, so they're not. In fact, I pointed this out to a friend. I was like, you know, I feel like they didn't do enough Star Wars references, but then I realized, oh, but wait a minute, they're not little kids; they're not 8 years old,
right?
So they're still into Star Wars, and they quoted it in the Orlando and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they've also moved on to other things too,
right?
So that was interesting.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, okay. So I love seeing Winona back. She's from the 80s.
So I have a lot of love for Winona. I actually, the way she was doing this character, I don't know if it's the direction, it got on my nerves a little bit.
Yeah. Toward the end, in the beginning, I was with her.
Yeah.
Toward the end, I was like, okay, tone it down. But I blame the directors because I'm sure that was what the directors were, you know.
She's fine. Like, she can do, she's a good actress. So I don't, and it wasn't a major thing. It was just one of those, like you said, tone it down a bit. Like
at the end.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I was with her. In the beginning, I was with her. Yeah.
Yeah.
The music was great. I'm sure you love The Clash.
Oh my God. No, the music, of course, there was a certain sense of like the music themes, they did a good job of that. The theme of the music matched kind of what was happening in a way. So I like that.
Echo and the Bunnymen.
Oh, I know. It was great.
Yeah. the throwback titles and fonts.
Absolutely.
When that first, like, in, like, okay, I'm watching the initial scene and I was like, whoa, this is like, this is kind of interesting. And then that, boo, 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 you know, yeah. And then those fonts and then that red on the black and the, I was like, what am I watching?
It's a Stephen King slash.
Well, John Carpenter.
John, well, yeah, John Carpenter, and, what's his name? And E.T. and it's like, oh, yeah, everything munched together.
Oh yeah,
Goonies.
Well, we'll get into that. Yeah,
more Stand By Me.
Yeah, they have pull top beer cans, which you know, I'm old enough to remember before they had the kind of, you know, aluminum cans you do today with that tab. Yeah. You would just pull off this like razor blade essentially that you could like cut people with. I loved the Trapper Keeper that they had in the school. The way that the girls looked, oh my God. Okay, the way that Barb looks, it looks ridiculous.
It's the thing.
That is exactly, yeah. I can name five girls off the top of my head that I grew up with that had that exact same look.
Yeah.
The coat she was wearing. That was a thing that whenever I have a short thing I say to people about the 80s and Stranger Things is, every other movie or TV show that has been set in the 80s, mm-hmm, that I know of has made a version of a parody of the 80s. Okay. You know, it'll be obviously 80s. Yeah. You know?
It's neon and yeah, all this stuff.
Right.
But this one was subtle.
This one was actually the 80s. This one wasn't like, we're going to make an 80s. This is like, let's make it so 80s that when someone from this time watches this, they will be transported. That's what happened.
It's almost like when they make those historical movies that take place in World War II or something, and it feels like, whoa, that looks like Berlin in that era or whatever.
Right.
This, they took that approach instead of the, hey, let's go campy 80s.
Right. And there were a lot of things in there that if you didn't know the 80s, you would say, that's not 80s. But then I'm like, yes, it was. Because, you know, the way that the girls dressed, it was very conservative, yeah, and it was almost kind of country-ish because this late 70s, there was a lot of country, like Little House on the Prairie influence that people forget about. Mm. You know, when they say 70s, you think bell bottoms, and you think 80s, you think neon. But actually, the way that regular people dressed, it was actually very much like the way they did in this show. A Fort in the Woods, that, I don't know why, is that an 80s thing? Because to me, growing up, all me and my friend. Oh, that's the other thing is I grew up with three friends in my neighborhood. I rode around on BMX bikes with my three best friends. I had two of them are brothers who lived on one side, uh-huh, and then this other guy lived on the other. Our houses were in a row. We were right next to each other. The four of us, we played Dungeons and Dragons. We rode around on BMX bikes.
So they were like, "That's me."
And we rode, and we made forts in the woods.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, and we had walkie-talkies. Holy crap. Okay. So because, you know, this is pre-Twitter and everything, and all we wanted to do was be together as best friends, we found these walkie-talkies. But because the range was so low, we actually hooked up wires to our screens and our windows.
Oh, wow.
And then drew a wire to, you know, like, interwove the wire.
So
I think I taped it on the side of my house. And so we could eke out some signal so we could say goodnight to each other.
That's funny.
In the middle of the night.
That is so funny.
And they had walkie-talkies.
With an incredible range, by the way.
But they had humongous walkie-talkies. Yeah. Dungeon, the board game. You might have even seen that when that flashed by the screen.
I did. Okay. They're bringing out the stuff. It's just Dungeon.
Yeah. I had that game.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. There's a lamp that they show at a certain point. They don't like highlight it, but there's just this one lamp that when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, that lamp was everywhere in the 80s.
The decor of Winona's house.
Yeah.
The decor of Winona's house. I think a lot of people could probably relate to many pieces. So I have a friend whose aunt had like that same couch.
Right.
That same seat.
and just throwaway, right? Yeah. It's not like they didn't have to do that.
Right.
But the meticulous nature of what the Duffer Brothers or
the Duffer Brothers. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, who are these guys?
I don't know. They're from the 80s.
Well, I think they're actually younger. I think they're in their 30s.
Really?
I'm not sure. Actually, I should look it up. So continue talking. Talk about the other movies that were in there.
Well, so there are these references. Like, for example, there's one part where the kids are walking down a train track, and it's very much a Stand By Me homage. Then, of course, there's so many scenes on on their bikes.
Yeah, they're born, I think they're twins, in 1984. So they're pretty young.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they're only 32.
They must have had consultants.
Or, I don't know, man, something.
And then there's, or maybe from watching enough of those movies, maybe?
They must have had consultants because you couldn't get this exact 80s thing without having someone who was there.
Yeah. They had the reference, well, obviously, obvious E.T. references because the girl, the way they treat her, the way she is,
She's E.T.
She is E.T., yeah. And then they're on their bikes, too, which is a big E.T. thing.
Right. Yeah, you got lots of Spielberg. They talk about Rambo. They get all decked out like Rambo. Stand By Me, obviously. Firestarter.
Right.
Do you remember Firestarter?
I never watched it, but I've read what it's about. Because
that was one of my favorite movies as a kid.
What's her name?
Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore, yeah.
Yeah, it is very close to Firestarter, actually, yeah. The blood in the nose was pulled right out of Firestarter. Close Encounters.
Alien,
The Thing. Yeah. Poltergeist. There's a lot of Poltergeist in there. The Goonies, like you said. Starman. Under the Skin. Have you seen that? It's actually not an 80s movie, but you know when she's in that black zone?
Yeah.
And you know when she's walking in that all-black room? That's like exactly from Under the Skin. Have you seen Under the Skin?
I don't know. I have not.
You got to watch this movie. It's with Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, okay.
And she is essentially an alien, and she abducts people in like Scotland or Ireland.
Are you just giving away the whole movie?
No, you have to see. It's very interesting, that movie. You have to stick with it.
You know what? I feel like that one came out right around the same time as that other bad movie she was in. The one where she gets powerful and gets all these special powers.
Lucy, yeah.
Lucy.
Did you see that movie?
I did, sadly.
Yeah, I saw it and actually didn't hate it. Well, I mean, the premise was absolutely completely idiotic, but I thought it was fun.
See, I was actually kind of backwards. I was like, that's kind of a neat okay, not so much to you. We only use 10% of our brains, but just the idea that, okay, and not to the extreme that she did, but the idea that, okay, we're going to give this girl chemicals on accident and she's going to develop these powers. Yeah. I like the premise.
Yeah.
But for me, the whole problem was more that as the movie starts getting closer towards the last 30%, it got fairly ridiculous.
Totally.
And so
it's like she's essentially a god at this
point.
Yeah,
and then doesn't use those aspects. Anyways, I could go on. But
The wrist rocket thing, that was just anyone who had a wrist rocket in the 80s was like the coolest kid.
What's the wrist rocket?
The slingshot.
Oh, yeah. Is that what they call them? Wrist rockets.
Well, because you have slingshots, but then you have wrist rockets that
actually... Which are the really powerful ones.
Yeah, because it has like a brace that goes on your arm.
I did like that scene where they foreshadow that will be used.
Yeah.
And when they use it, but then maybe it doesn't do as much as one might hope.
Right. The Eggos, Lego My Eggos, little waffles. Those, my family never bought those. But,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That was too expensive. You don't have pre-made waffles.
They were a staple at my mom's house.
they were everywhere, all over the TV. Lego My Eggo was totally.
Lego My Eggos.
And I sort of forgot about Eggos until this show came back on. Or until I watched this show. Another very 80s thing, and I don't know if it was on purpose, but when the mom is on the phone and he tries to talk to her and she's like, I'm on the phone.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, but that just felt so 80s to me.
Yeah. Well, no, because, of course, because what happens, right? First of all, speaking on the phone is a thing at that point.
Yeah, big thing. Only for adults, you know? Especially if an adult's talking on the phone, it is damn important.
Because it's not like you can check your email.
Right.
You can't check your text messages. It's the only method of communication you have outside of the house. Think of that.
Yeah, the
it's
only
the
way.
Only method. Right. So if you're on the phone, it's important.
Yeah.
And so it's like you're interrupting that.
Right. Another thing that totally they just nailed was the cool kid. He had a BMW.
Oh yeah.
And it was the exact model that I remember from the 80s.
Really?
Oh yeah. Beamers looked cool back then.
Sure.
Now they just like look like every other.
Yeah, they lost a lot of distinctiveness.
Yeah. But back then a Mercedes maybe, but Beamers were the shit. Yeah. Now it's like, you know, what would you say is like the cool kid car today?
Lamborghini. No, just kidding. No. It'd be something more moddable, probably. Like a Mitsubishi Evo or something.
Or a Tesla or something.
Whoa.
You know what I mean? But back then, there were very few cars that really stood out like, that's a bitchin' car. You had your Corvettes and stuff. But when Beamers came on the scene, I remember like that was like, it was like the best car, and he had an exact model like that, and I just thought it was another nice little touch. The way that the kitchens looked, all the sweaters that everyone wore, He-Man. Every day after school, I would watch He-Man.
I loved He-Man, and I had many of those toys.
The Tupperware at the end, the Bundt cakes with the gumdrops at the end. And the kicker was, do you remember seeing this little porcelain tree with little lights at the very end?
Not only did I notice the tree, but I have one of those.
Yeah. We had one of those growing up in the 80s. I had that exact same porcelain tree when I was a kid.
I inherited that porcelain tree from someone.
So what's the final word on Stranger Things?
So again, I enjoyed it. I think all these aspects, as you can see, I geeked out heavily on all the 80s and the references and things like that. I feel because of it, actually, that I wish they would have tightened up a few things narratively. Some of the last few episodes, there were some things that they did that I wish they wouldn't have done, or they would have done a little bit differently, because I think it could have been, for me, a top show. But a lot of people really, really love it. There's definitely going to be a sequel.
Yeah.
So, and they're going to explore further what happens with everyone.
And I'm sure it'll suck compared to the original. It's the same as Fargo, the TV show. The first season was just perfect, and the second season was like, eh.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought the ending was perfect. I couldn't think of a better way to end it. They had, you know, it was, they, you could tell they really worked the screenplay. You know, they really worked on how to make everything feel right at the end. There were no moments throughout the entire thing where I was like, what are you doing?
Unless you excuse it because it is an 80s homage, you don't have a 17-year-old girl entering a mold-infested, festering hole in the ground of it. That doesn't happen.
Okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Yeah, that was, yeah.
But again, so these things...
Especially because it's not her brother. Yeah. It's like her brother's friend.
That's right. And another thing, if you were in the mood to throw complaints, I would say part of the challenge that it had, and it actually juggled it well, is it actually was trying to tell three stories.
Right.
And that is hard. It's a hard thing to do.
Right.
So, and then with it only 8 episodes, like, that's, you know.
Yeah, and I thought they did that perfectly. You know, when the characters start coming together, it's very satisfying. And the way that they did the ending, you know, they weren't trying to make a realistic story. They were trying to make a story, if that makes any sense. And they were like, oh, okay, now you could just see the writers going, okay, now we got to get these two characters together and they have to go do something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And look, Matthew Modine, fantastic.
Another total 80s guy.
Totally.
I mean, has he done anything since the 80s?
He has.
I'm sure he has done nothing since Vision Quest.
And then that girl, I don't know her name. I forget the actress's name.
Which girl?
The main girl. The
11?
11.
Yeah, I don't know.
She was great.
Oh, my God.
She was great.
The acting she pulled off with so literally, so little words.
Yeah.
It was the empathy you have for her.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. And just everything, man. Like the way that they pulled off the other dimension, and the monster. they, you know, they revealed it right at the right time, but not too much. And it just, I don't know, man, it just had all the elements of excellent storytelling. It moved fast. I couldn't wait to watch the next episode. There were moments where I was like, is this movie going to freak me out? I went to bed. I think I like finished watching like episode 3 and then went, I was like, oh, I'll watch one more episode. And then went straight to bed. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to fall asleep because I'm too scared. I mean, it's not super horror and soup, but it's like Alien. There's points where it's kind of freaky, right?
Oh, by the way, Nightmare on Elm Street. It had vibe stuff from that too, like totally. The fact that you have to be kind of you can be taken into this other realm by this creature, you know.
And yet it felt original. It even though it had all these callbacks, that's the true artistry of these Duffer brothers, is it was an original. It was in some ways better than the movies it was trying to parody. I mean, have you seen E.T. recently?
No.
It you know, some of these movies don't exactly hold up.
Yeah, but you know, you can't do that. You know,
Clockwork Orange made 1971. That movie holds up.
Yeah, but
the first Star Wars.
There's some thematic things that make it just like.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's original.
Yeah.
It's good storytelling.
Yeah.
It's very satisfying. These, you know, in a land where we have shows like Lost with zero oversight of story and plot, and other kind of shows like that, or Battlestar Galactica, people hated, you know, the end of that. You know?
I like the ending.
Yeah, but there were things about it that didn't really wrap up. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Or True Detective.
The first season?
Yeah. There were things that didn't really make sense. And
I liked a lot. I liked True Detective a lot. I like True Detective better than Stranger Things. I'm on record saying that.
But,
I haven't seen the second season, just the first season.
In a time where, you know, there's just, I feel like in the 80s, they made stories very understandable.
Yeah.
And as time went on, it was almost like the new Bond movies, for instance. I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
Everything is all about trying to confuse, you know, essentially the way that they tell stories now is this scene is going to blow your mind, but it will make no fucking sense in the overall sense of the story. Yeah. In a world where that is happening all the time, and I'm so frustrated, this movie made 100% sense to me the entire time. And there were a couple little, you know, nods to mystery at the end, but I was like, they're setting up the next season, essentially. So that's the final word. That does it for this episode of Psychology in Seattle. Tell us what you think about Stranger Things by emailing us at contact@psychologyinseattle. Also, become a patron of the podcast by going to patreon.com. Once you become a patron, you get access to all of our exclusive episodes. You also get access to the premium feed that doesn't have any commercials. And you also know that part of your pledge goes towards various different charities that we support. So please become a patron of the podcast by going to patreon.com. That's patreon.com. Why should people become a patron of the podcast, Bruno?
Well, for one thing, if you love something, you know, make it thrive, help it thrive. Second, we donate 20% to charity, to great causes like the homeless shelters. And then finally, because you become a part of the community and it's part of what we do, then you're contributing directly to that. And you get to pick so many of our topics and you get to contribute more directly even. You shape what the show becomes.
Just like today's episode, a couple of patrons actually emailed and said, you should talk about this. And so we are. All right. Well, that does it for the episode. Please take care of yourself out there because
you deserve it. What happened?
God.
Okay.